Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, a poet on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have up to 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everyone's taste. Also, make sure if you get a chance to go to Amazon and check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. Now, for tonight's topic, I ran a contest on All Poetry with prompts, quotes, and pictures, and on the theme of being bold and daring. People could either write to a specific prompt, or they could just simply write a sensual poem based on the theme of, not daring, I'm sorry, I was looking at one of the quotes, bold and confident, that's it. We had sexy, the state of mind, be bold, be daring, be unforgettable, and all kinds of different ones. Let's see here, I'm going to couple off. Confidence is sexy, wear it daily. Be the woman willing to build an empire with her man. Don't be the girl searching for a man with an empire. And then, of course, I had to throw in a little humor with anyone can be confident with a full head of hair, but a confident bald man, that's your diamond in the rough. So just all kinds of fun stuff to play with, and I am definitely looking forward to delving into tonight's poetry. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and start bringing on my guests. And first of all, I'd like to say hello to Laurent. Hi, Laurent. How's it going?
Well, I've got to tell you, Pam, when you began your monologue at the beginning of the show, there was a sensual heat in your voice I don't think I've ever heard before, so I am absolutely intrigued.
You know what it is? It's allergies. I've been dusting all day, so I can't catch my breath.
You know what you're so good at? Diffusing a somewhat ignorant statement like that. That was good.
Oh, I know. With the name of that band, yeah. That was
dodged. Pretty... You dodged.
And I'd like to say hello to Tom and hello to Kel. Glad you could both join us.
Thank you.
At least I think we have Kel, too. Maybe not. Area code 418. You're on the air. May I ask?
I'm going to phone back. I used my real phone. I didn't use Skype. Sorry.
No problem, Naomi.
I'm going to phone back.
Shortly.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And how are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. I had to go help a friend of mine who got cleared of all his DUIs, so he's getting his license back. I got to go take him in for his driver's test. He's so excited.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Yeah. And
he actually got written up in the paper because he's the guy that hitchhikes to work every day, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then he'd hike up to where the slug lines are and stand the slug lines, but he'd be out on the road at 5 in the morning every day. So he's earned it.
I understand that. Well, that's definitely something to make you infamous.
Yeah, well, you know, it's also something that you got to support people like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Makes sense to me.
Thanks.
And how are you doing, Naomi?
Yeah, pretty good. It's cold,
cool.
but we had snow, but it didn't stay, so it's all gone now.
Yeah,
but you had snow
I'm
before.
A little envious because our snow is still on the ground, and I suspect it'll stay
there
for the rest of winter.
Well, other places in Quebec, like Quebec City, my daughter lives in Quebec City and like high up in the mountains there behind Quebec City, and they have snow there that she sent me pictures. But like I live like an hour from Montreal now. Well, before I used to snow hell. Like it was a place in Quebec where there was the most snow, I'm telling you. But I moved now closer to Montreal, so we get some snow later. Yeah.
Well, you know, in Washington, D.C., every kid at the beginning of December starts praying for White Christmas, if not sooner, because snow days are gifts from heaven. Because they don't happen very often.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
But you stuck with snow already? Oh, my gracious.
Yes. Well, thankfully not too deep. Not too deep, but yeah.
It's not funny, but anyway.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Well, there's been years where it's came on Halloween or before, but, you know, thankfully that's not the norm. Yeah,
where
where
I used to live before, that was the case,
All right, so we'll go ahead and get the show started, and we're going
to
start out.
I can stay tonight, but not the entire show. I'll be leaving around like 11:15 there.
Okie dokie. All right, so I've got you all scheduled in, and we'll make it work. All right, and oops, I forgot to grab the link. Let me go ahead and do that, and all right, and we're going to start the show out with the poem Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. And, of course, I'm sure most people recognize that poem. I thought it was a good choice for a introduction for a poem on confident, or a show on being bold and confident. And Sapphire Rose, a poet and friend on All Poetry, was nice enough to make a recording of the poem for us. So I'm going to go ahead and find that and push play.
Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model's size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellas stand or fall down to their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breast, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. And when you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need of my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. End poem.
Oh, that's sharp.
Great. Absolutely. Great read there, Sapphire. Thank you so much for that recording. Like I said, I just absolutely adore Maya Angelou's work, and I thought this just the perfect poem to start out a show on being confident and bold. And Tom, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, I really like it. I like it, first of all, because while she comes forward as a confident, totally self-possessed woman, and she presents it, it's done from a place, I always say it's done from a place of confidence. I mean, it's done without having to brag or over-dramatize or even really make a big deal out of it, but by simply stating plainly in clear and concise language that sense of self-possession, that sense of being attractive simply because you are attractive to yourself. You're confident in yourself, and you know who you are, and that's powerful. She puts it across perfectly, just right down to the last little syllable. And I love the phenomenal woman.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, by and large, I have to agree completely with Tom. She emphasizes the style of what she does with the descriptions of herself. If you take away all the words except for arms, hips, step, lips, woman, eyes, teeth, waist, feet, smile, breasts, boils right down to the grace of my style. It's everything combined, nothing extraordinary in and of itself. But put it all together and you have something absolutely cosmic. Phenomenal Woman is indeed a poem of great pride and self-respect, and nothing special except who she is, Phenomenal Woman.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's definitely a poem that speaks to, that, as mentioned, that self-confidence, but without being overbearing or too flamboyant, just a nice, straightforward style. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Oh, I'm all giddy because Maya Angelou is like my idol. she's my favorite.
Oh, that's awesome.
If I would be able to sit with somebody, you know, and talk to them from up there, it would be her. Oh, my gracious. And, you know, she passed away, and I wasn't able to see her recite poetry, but from what I've heard, she was just like amazing. She had this charisma about her, and the way she read her poetry was just like absolutely phenomenal.
There are a number of YouTube videos of her reading, Naomi.
And this poem is one of my favorites, and I had it up when I first joined AP. I had this poem up by Maya Angelou on my page, and this is one of my favorite poems, and she is one of my idols. So yeah, I think she's great. You know, just the fact that she was born in 1928, a black woman in a segregated, you know, Air Kansas, and she rose to be this phenomenal person, like, you know, this poet, this historian, this author, this actress, she did such work, you know. It's just amazing. It talks to her her strength and her character, and so she's absolutely amazing.
I'll shut
up now.
I enjoy hearing your enthusiasm. I'm glad you're able to be here. And all right. Thank you so much, everyone, for your comments. And we're going to go ahead and move on to your poem, Laurent. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. This is called Bold and Confident. I took your title. Triple G, gals of glitz and guts, a small elite group to put the B in bitch. Unabashedly, singly, in pairs, or as a group, aggressively unapologetic. Their aesthetic was hotly sensual, much more than merely cosmetic. Tonight, Molly was a single, wearing a tight sheath dress, black trimmed in silver chains, definitely dressed to impress. Hair to match, piercing black eyes, never known to compromise, like a cougar with claws who purred. Many a man was so easily lured. Numerous were discarded, not up to the task. Little boys wearing grown-up masks. Inferior, insincere, cavalier, particle board with a cheap veneer. Tonight at Riley's stood an oak, belly to the bar, telling a joke. Hair that lay strawberry wild, ginger with fair skin and paler eyes. Molly's radar pinged. She felt attraction sting. She needed to scratch that itch and set out to bewitch. Her sexy strut drew his attention. He cleared his throat and smiled. Pardon me, ma'am, in all candor, you leave me utterly beguiled. At ease, young man, she smiled in return. I may be more than you can handle. Wrong, my queen, he scoffed. No child on your knee to dandle. I'll take your challenge and survive. There's a universe of pleasure available, all at the end of my many extremities. God's truth, my middle name is capable. So off they went, hand in arm, to test their mutual skills. But it was said later on, he depended on several notorious blue-colored pills. End poem.
That was awesome, Lauren. Great read and write. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I just love this. The descriptions of Molly and the all throat, the descriptions of how these ladies were dressed, and there was just amazing wording in here. And then to finish with that line, oh my gracious. Yeah, she was too much for him to handle. Yeah, this is really great, Laura. I just love this. Thanks for the laugh.
Great comment, Naomi. And Tom, your thoughts?
I just thought that he said it all in the second pair, in the second stanza, with singly in pairs or in a group, aggressively unapologetic. Their aesthetic was hotly sensual, much more than really cosmetic. That was just such a nice, tight set of alliterative comments that I was just like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. You could have just stopped right there. I would have known exactly the kind of woman you were speaking of. That's just really sharp. The rest of it was fun and a great tale, but I just thought that second verse was so tight that it stood way out.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. I do have to agree that second stanza is really great. I also like where you said you say start out with triple G gals of glitz and guts, a small elite group who put D in ditch unabashedly. The whole idea that, you know, these women are unapologetically themselves. I like how this is a story style poem that almost has a noir type feel, but like with the humor thrown in. And I actually laughed out loud when you got the last two stanzas when you said, God's truth, my middle name is capable. And then, but it was said later on, he depended on several notorious blue colored pills. You know, this is, it's great. It's humorous, but it's fun, it's catchy, it's got the sensuality of boldness in it, because a person who has this type of, you know, don't give a damn confidence definitely, you know, captures people's attention. I really like Molly's radar pinged. She felt attraction sting. She needed to scratch that itch and set out to bewitch. Definitely a woman with a plan. Excellent, right, mm-hmm. Laurent, and very well done.
Thank you. You are too kind.
Some would say otherwise, but okay, good.
All right.
All right. Up next is your poem, Tom. Go ahead and give
okay,
it a try.
Thank you much. Before I could know her. One, strength, vibrancy, uniqueness, special, creative, visionary, or just plain crazy, difficult, ornery, obstreperous, stubborn, a hard seed, or too closed down to know how to live. Genus, species, definition, conditions, decide, deride. The world is more than a mere a reflection of your interior vision of what needs be controlled. Two. Those strong know tender. The wise can be foolish. In learning the interior language of our partner, the two of us patiently create our own. I would know you first, then all that describes you is no more than window dressing. None of it defines. What defines, we create to rescue us from the morbidity, the redundancy others call participation. We are revelation, creation, the wonder others follow. After soaring alone, riding the wind, we came to be. Now is the time to hold the reins, create for all the world to see all love can be. Simplicity is far from plain. End poem.
Great read, Tom, and a wonderful write. And let's start with your thoughts, Laurent.
Yeah, that was a great read and a great piece. From what I can see, a couple of things stand out for me. I like your descriptions of very difficult, ornery, obstreperous, stubborn, a hard seed. That kind of nails it down. And then the world is more than a mirror, a reflection of your interior. And that really reveals what's going on inside this woman that he wants to get to know. And, of course, the strong know tender, because to be truly strong, you have to be tender. And even the wise can be foolish. So do not accept everything that you see immediately as truth, because those things can be combined effectively. Then where you say, where is it? What defines, we create to rescue us from the morbidity, the redundancy others call participation. I'm a little, I need to be educated right there as to what you intended.
Well, if you really stop and think about it, most people go through a dance where they proceed to participate in sharing their mask. And I see many relationships where, truthfully, in the end, both people had to admit they really never knew the other person, because they participated with each other, but they never really got to know each other.
Ah, okay. Good answer. All right. I think it's a fine piece. You hit on some strong truths.
Absolutely. Well said, Laurent. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree with everything that Laurent said, and I think that the way you describe this person that before you could know her, you used the specific words, just the exact words here. And you rounded up her character so well. And I love also your last line, simplicity is far from plain. It's so true, you know, to live in the quiet simplicity of being together and being in love and doing day-to-day everything and just staying tight and staying in love and staying together, it's far from plain. It's, you know, it's all kinds of intricacies in there, and all kinds of, you know, you have to wiggle yourself, you know, out of situations, and you have to, you know, and you know, before you come to that simplicity, you went through a hell of a time, you know, getting to know each other, accepting, getting to move on to what the little things that bother you, that get on your nerves. And so to get down into that simplicity, that that complicity of living, you know, together, well, yeah, it is far from plain. Well, that's what I read into it anyway. So this is an amazing write, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. I really like this. I think it's a beautifully written vignette with some just wonderful and intelligent observations. I like how you start out with the line that says, difficult, ornery, obstructive, stubborn, a hard deed, or too closed down to know how to live. You know, there's some people that just they don't know how to, like, let go and truly live. And I also like where you said the world is more than a mirror, a reflection of your interior visions of what need to be controlled. It's just kind of interesting to, within that part of that, it feels like that whole idea of what can you let go and what do you need to reel back and keep control of. There's really, and then as you go into the second part, you really go into that whole idea of growth that happens individually and growth that happens as a couple. And I too really like your ending where you say simplicity is far from plain. I also like how you say we are a revelation, creation, the wonder others follow. There's a certain strength and boldness found in doing what everybody else isn't doing, in finding that long-term commitment. So just a beautiful write and very well done.
No, thank you. I wanted to do this with as much brevity as possible without being necessarily short. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I played for a long time, like with the world is more than a mere reflection of your interior vision of what needs to be controlled, because all the things about fear, anxiety, yada, 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 they're all sort of nestled in that one little short little paragraph, I mean, you know, verse. But it was like, how much do I want to say and how much do I want to let people discover out of looking at themselves and the reflection of the verse, you know, and sometimes you just got to cross your fingers and pray.
Absolutely. And that is so true of any poem. Any poem we write, you have to think, okay, how much do I really want to put out there point blank, and how much do I want people to try to put their interpretation between the lines?
So, I mean, that's the reason, like, when Ron, you know, asked what does that mean, you know, about what defines we create to rescue us from the morbidity, the redundancy others call participation. That was tricky. I mean, that was another one of those where I had to really think about how much do I really want to give away here, because there's. To explain most of this poem in great detail, I'd have to write a bloody book.
Right? That is
busy.
So true.
Oh, I think if you go through enough of my poems, you'll get pretty well stirred up, you know.
Absolutely. Very true. And I would like to welcome Frank to the show. Welcome, Frank. Huh. Glad you could join us. And happy almost birthday.
Hello there, my friends. Hello there, my friends.
Bon yes. Fight.
Glad you could join us.
It's always a pleasure. Mon plaisir.
All right. And Naomi, I have your poem up, and
I think I'm gonna read it, Pam.
Oh, you
is it okay? I'm
fine.
Gonna read it. Okay.
Okay.
This is called Salty Seduction. I am smooth, as sandy squishes that slip and slide between your toes. Soft, as salted swirls that stroke seafront's shores. Bold, as the breeze that bathes your body in slow sighs of satiny silk. I am the sea, salty sways and creamy waves of cold chilled wine, blinking my deep cobalt eyes as clouds take the sky. I am a whisper of secrets, both wondrous and wild, as mystical mysteries drifting deeply under waters of an unsung ocean. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi, and actually a beautiful write. And Frank, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, all right. We'll start it off with me. I really... One moment.
I think you're fading in and out there, Frank. Do you have a headset or something you need to adjust? Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the sensuality expressed in this poem. I like the way that the descriptive nature of this poem is what just drew me in from the beginning there. The smooth, the references, the sentient feelings here. Notion incorporates sentences throughout the piece, and I think a poem like this that is very sentient as well is what makes it a very good poem. I like that whole notion of the breeze that bathes your body in slow sighs of satiny silk. This is a very, very sensual. It has a bit of eroticism as well. But I really like the whole notion there of where you ended it with the whispers of secrets there. And you refer it to a mystical mysteries there drifting deeply under waters of an unsung ocean. Wow, that's really to be submerged in that passionate thought there. Really, it was a very, very central piece. But I thought Naomi always does an excellent job of these pieces here. And she's very good at this type of poetry. And I like that notion of incorporating the sentience into a piece. I thought it was very salty and very seductive.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Absolutely well said. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I like this. I like how you got it broken into like it's three vignettes, each one beginning with the I am. The first one, the longest one, is sort of an introduction to the what you might call the opening chapter, and it's full of nice assonance and with the sandy squishes, slip and slide, soft as salted swirls, stroke saffron shores. You know, really nice alliteration with the assonance of all those S's moving through there, which in itself is sensual and sexy. But the second one takes us a little deeper and starts making you a little bit, it's not about the invitation, it's more about who I am in terms of like how you will see me. But the third one is the really important layer, which is that if you are good enough and you are willing to explore and you are brave enough to dive deep enough, you will discover the unsung ocean. That to me in many ways is the ultimate invitation to have someone say, you can really know me. if you're willing and if you're brave. And that just speaks all of that sensuality in that last verse is all about the willingness of someone who knows you to be brave enough and bold enough to discover. That's a great piece. I really like this one. This just works really well.
Thank you, Tom.
Great comment, Tom. And Lauren, your thoughts?
What makes you think I'm qualified to speak at this point following Frank and Thomas's detailed comments?
Because I have confidence in you. That's why.
All right. I find that one of the things that makes a wonderful poem are relatable sensations. And I have to say that the slip and slide of sand between toes is a lovely one, especially at water's edge, as the tide sucks the sand from beneath you as you're standing there. And so when you begin to introduce relatable sensations like that, one instantly warms to the poem, and which I love, complete with skillful alliteration and images that swim in my mind. It's a sensuality out of the deep blue of this unsung ocean. As you say, at the stanza I love the best was, "I am the sea, sultry sways and creamy waves of cold chilled wine, blinking my deep cobalt eyes as clouds take the sky." Poem. Just wonderful piece.
Thank you, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Lauren. And wonderful comments, everybody. I have to say, I think this is just absolutely beautiful. I love how it personifies the sea, but it has that duality of also comparing a strong woman to the sea. And I think this fits in really well with a Art of Seduction contest and show on confidence, because you have that repetitive "I am," which is such a simple statement, but says that a woman knows specifically what she is, that she has, there is no room for doubt. There's no other words put in like "I may be." It is "I am." And I like how you've centered the stanzas, and they have each kind of their own individual shape to them, which makes it very intriguing to read. I love the alliteration in "soft as salted swirls that stroke saffron shores." And I really like when people use references to spice. But saffron, I think, is a particularly lovely one to use in central rites because it is such a rare and expensive and, not easy to harvest. So if someone knows they are saffron, they know that they're worth getting, and they know that getting them isn't going to be an easy task. So just absolutely a stunning rite, Naomi, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead, since I haven't put myself to work yet, and read Seduction by Warren M. Bott. And it goes like this. I would first have to find you in the bustle of today, then my wiles would be applied and I would find a way. It may be in a city park we would accidentally meet. I would start a conversation, let you sweep me off my feet. That you think you were the captor, well, really it was me who set the trap and sprung it before you had a chance to flee. Just like a female spider, I would leave you no escape. You would find yourself entangled, stand there mouth agape. Then not to be beaten, your manliness would show, suggest a quite romantic place where only we would go. There is an ancient saying, it may be just a whim, that she lets him chase her until she catches him. End poem. I liked that one. I really, that one was just clever and fun. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts. Are you on mute, Lawrence? Or did he?
Oh, sadly, I was on mute.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, one demerit. I'll take it. The women's wiles are notorious. As the poem states, you know, set the trap and let yourself get swept off your feet, all the while sinking your teeth deeply into what you want. The opportunity to let go of things, you know, turn out to be not quite what you wish. But how much better is it to keep something slightly forbidden as opposed to too freely given, because then it loses its import, its interest. And women understand this fact, that holy, forbidden city that inhabits their bodies. We all want to make the visit. This is very clever, very humorous.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this reminds me of something I figured out when I was in college, which was, I always said, you never pick up a girl. You just make yourself interesting enough that she decides she's going to take control.
the other side of the coin, yeah?
Well, you know, it worked real well for me, I promise you. And the other thing was, I used to look at girls who felt unconfident about themselves and stuff and go, you got to understand, you are every man's goal in a way. And if you recognize that, then you can put yourself in a position where they earn a right to get to know you. And it's not that you have to be cold or cruel. You just have to recognize that if you're that important as a goal in the eyes of many men, then they need to earn entrance and make them work.
Absolutely.
You're a fisherman, Tom.
Well, you know, it seems to be the way the game is written, and I just and I used to laugh a lot of times because I used to play like I was really confident, and truthfully, I was scared shitless, but I was perfectly happy to let you buy the lie, you know.
Absolutely. Well, great, great comments. And Naomi, your thoughts?
I love this poem. I like how the rhyme and the easy flow emphasizes like the fun inside the poem. I love, you know, let you think you were the captor. Well, really, it was me. It's so true, too. You know, you just dangle yourself in front of someone and, you know, and then he thinks that and it's so true, you leave them chase, yeah, because guys love to hunt, eh? And if you're too much of an easy catch, well, oh, you know, that's too easy for them. But I like I'm kind of, you know, out in the dating world here, so. I know these tricks. And to compare the female to a spider, too, you know, that weaves her web around, you know, that's really great. So I thought this poem was really fantastic. So, yeah, I just liked it. Just loved it a lot.
Absolutely. Well said, Naomi. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I really did enjoy the wordplay in this poem here. You know, it almost had a whole notion of its own, making poetry. I like the notion that it was offered there about the female spider. I think he did a clever, very astute way of just presenting to us just this whole image there of what just being seduced there, the seduction element, I would say. But I really like this, the way that the poem really just made me think there. You know, it was very visual. You know, it offered me a visual. I would say that was very much very tangible, and I could really really just see myself there, just conjuring there the image of a spider there, well, actually of a woman there, and just being seduced there, you know, and being entangled to that extent there, I thought that was very, very, very seductive there. I thought the poem overall was a good poem, and it was very much very clever.
Absolutely. Great comments, everyone. I just found this absolutely delightful. It had wonderful spot-on rhyme and flow. I liked how it was a story-style poem that reminds us of the fun of the chase and the fun of the game. And I really liked this all the way through. But I especially liked the part that did reference the female spider. And then the ending where it says that she lets him chase her until she catches him. So just absolutely wonderful write and very well done. And before we move on, I'm going to go ahead and bring someone else on. Hello, area code 701. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, it's Casey.
Hey,
Casey.
Hello, Casey.
So glad you could join us.
Hello,
yeah,
Casey.
I'm glad to be here. Hi.
Wonderful. All right. Well, up next we have your poem, Frank, and I have a recording, so I'm going to go ahead and push play.
Being sexy is more than looking fine all the time. It's an intoxicating taste of a glass of Spanish wine. The mouthful of melting chocolate dripping sensually like an undressed seduction stripping nakedly its garments. A delicious taste of caramel and honey stirring the tongue, sweet as nectar and syrup, so passionately and thick. An erotic lover of the moonlight's bath in volcanoes, eruption, for her perfume is the scent of an exotic lavender fragrance. She is the match that lights the sizzling spark of eroticism, sexiest way a woman walks, in talks with her sultry voice, the way she kisses with her lips and slowly strokes with her hips, the words she whispers into your ears to a cool, tumescent breeze. There are women that are so damn sexy and so attractive, they delight your desires with lascivious echoes of the night, strutting with feminine persuasion, a confidence exuding her sex appeal. In the contours of her beauty, I dine from her sumptuous feast. There is a daring woman that knows how to tame a man, with just a mere display of her bosom and legs exhibited, a seductress of men's pleasures, for she is the dancer of flamenco. Her olive skin so smooth dances with the Mediterranean rain. To me, these señoritas are damn sexy. Mis besos son siempre tu fuente, mis caricias tu estremecimiento, mis ojos mocha tu chocolate, mi cuerpo es tu santuario. My kisses are ever your fountain, my caresses your shutter, my mocha eyes your chocolate, my body is your sanctuary. Olé. 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 In the poem. Thank you.
Wonderful read and write there, Frank. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Just a great choice in background music. And Casey, since you're new here and into the room, let's go ahead and start with your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a wonderful read, Frank. I really enjoyed kind of the tone that you use when you read a sensual poem. It fits so well. I also enjoyed that you put this to music. I think it kind of really sets the tone and the mood of the poem when you incorporate all of the little nuances. I liked the beginning, being sexy is more than looking fine all the time. It made me smile a little bit because I think of... and I hope that's not taking the wrong way, but I think of like the women who don't think they have to do anything when they're pretty. You know what I mean? I'm pretty. Why should I have to do that? I thought of that. So it made me think, you know, being sexy is more than that. So it made me smile, and I liked the line. Continuing on, it was just a wonderful poem. How you took... she is the match. And then you talked about there are women that are so damn sexy and so attractive, and saying that in just a matter-of-fact way. I thought that was a really wonderful way to put that. And then there's a daring woman that knows how to tame a man. So you kind of talk about all these different types of females that you find attractive. And then you kind of expand on that and talk about why. So I think... Señoritas is a fantastic title for the poem because you talk about señoritas as a whole and not just one. So that's what I thought.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'll just say very briefly that I invite you tonight to a flamenco dance. You will see just how central these dancers are. They're very, very good dancers.
Wow. Very cool.
Great comment, Casey. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, Frank, how did you know that I tasted like caramel and honey and smelled like lavender? Oh, you sneaky man. Well, lavender is my favorite scent. But this is just so, so sexy and so sensual all through. And your voice, your reading voice is just like over the top. It just, it just made me, well, I always say it made me puddle in my panties. But, this is just awesome.
Very sweet, Dan. Thank you very much, Ashley. Thank you very much.
And, Laurent, your thoughts?
El Bicardo de Remencio, Chocolate Gotindo Sinceramente, como una sedición desnuda. This is a poem of sight and sound, replete with a luscious sensuality, overwhelming the images that flow like the rich chocolate of your poem. Bravo.
Oh, I appreciate that. And you too, Lauren. I'll take you next. I'll take you with me as well, and we will see some flamenco tapping there. You will see how beautiful the dance is and how beautiful the dancers are as well.
Why, Frank, are you flirting with me?
No, I said I take you too with me. It's with Casey as well.
I'm sorry. It was just
pick up woman.
Oh my goodness. I think everybody had wonderful comments. I like how you involve all the senses in this poem. And, you know, just a beautiful use of language. I like that you mentioned the caramel, the lavender fragrance, the movement of the dance. What I really like, though, is that you get to the end, just before the Spanish, where you say, to me, these señoritas are damn sexy. And it's such a simple line, but it gives that moment of pause. And there's a moment of kind of this raw, virile-like honesty of saying, you know, I don't need any fancy words in this moment, because all I need to do is just admit how damn sexy these women are to me. I also like where you say, she is the match that lights the sizzling spark of eroticism, sexy as the way a woman walks and talks with her sultry voice. Beautiful lines there, Frank, and very well done.
With you as well, Pam, I'm invited as well to see a night of flamenco. And the reason why I say that, because my ex-wife was a flamenco dancer, so you will appreciate it as well. I invite you as well. Everyone here, Naomi as well.
Oh, very cool. And if you get me drunk enough on sangria, I'll do the running man for you.
Oh, there we go. We'll do that. I promise you it will be muy caliente.
All right. Sounds awesome. And up next we have Tigress by Sapphire Rose, and she did provide a recording for us. So I'm going to go ahead and find that. And let's see here. And here we go.
Tigress by Sapphire Rose. Penetrating emerald greens, she sent shivers coursing through your body in a euphoric rush. Underestimating her intentions is a miscalculation on your part. She is animated and accurate. Do not make that mistake. Her pearly white skin and sinful red lips are sure to leave you in a haze. A mystery that will surely stop your heart, one that stalks beyond Shadow's tomb, entice her to your benefit, for she is sure to seal your doom if you try to counter it. Think twice before freeing her from her cage. Left for so long, she is sure to be enraged. And if you slumber next to her, secrets your body will try to hide, she will swiftly unmask each and every one in one lustful stride. Her mind a cocoon for sinful pleasures. Embrace her for the tigress she is. Treat her like a queen, and eternal bliss will reign supreme. End poem.
That was a wonderful reading right there, Sapphire. I have to say that I noticed she said in the room about Frank's poem and then hers next, oh boy, I have to follow that. I don't think she's so worried at all. Sapphire Rose has a beautiful reading voice, and that was definitely a seductive write. And Frank, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, I have to say, first of all, I agree with you on that comment there. I was very much drawn into this poem with I like the seductive aspect of the beginning of the poem there with the reference to the emerald greens penetrating. She goes on. I mean, it's a very central piece by all means, but it's beautiful. It's very, very poetic and creative. She brings me in with these lines here with a mystery that will surely stop your heart from the stalks beyond Shadow's tomb. This is a very, very creative piece, but it's a type of eroticism that really is so poetic. And I just loved it. Each one of these lines were beautiful. And that last stanza, I would say, the one about the tigress, I thought that was amazing there. But she really incorporated, you know, you think about it, she says, her mind is a cocoon for sinful pleasures. You embrace her. And she says, the tigress is to treat like a queen. Well, you know, we can look and look at a woman and think of them as embodying them a sex appeal, you know, for us men. But there's also that aspect of a woman there which is also central, is the way we learn how to treat them or how we treat them. And getting back to that, what I was going to say to Casey, I think being sexy is something that doesn't necessarily have to reflect only in the physicality. It incorporates everything that a woman or a man really displays in their charm, the personality, the persona, in many ways, in many things. And I think this poem here really personified for me what that felt for me there, of what sexy, being sexy, really implied there.
Absolutely. Absolutely well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she took everything that's inside of a brave and courageous woman that won't go down without slashing and slicing and growling, you know, tearing everything to pieces. And she just incorporated that all into this piece so wonderfully. And, they're like a tigress. The woman is a tigress. And that's so bold and daring. And like the quote said, makes her unforgettable, a queen, you know. And if you catch one of these women, well, yeah, like she said, eternal bliss will reign supreme. So, you know, but they're hard to catch.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. Well said there.
But an excellent Rose, and just beautifully worded all through. And your voice, wow, just absolutely amazing. Yeah, she has an amazing reading voice. Oh, it's just superb. So really,
absolutely,
really well done.
And Casey, your thoughts?
Oh, Sapphire, this one is awesome. I actually have read this before. I was perusing some lists. I've taken to reading people's lists lately. And anyway, it was on a friend of mine's list as a recommended poem. So I checked it out, and it's just amazing. I loved, though, being able to hear you read it on this show. I think that even adds more to it. I mean, the voice, as Naomi was saying, is just, it's beautiful. So what I wanted to say about this poem, though, is that for me, the best part about it is that it's not only about sensuality, but also quite a bit about femininity, about being a woman and being treated like a woman. I really do enjoy the line, "Think twice before freeing her from her cage. Left for so long, she is sure to be enraged." It's realistic. It's emotional. Underestimating her intentions is a miscalculation on your part. I think that's so powerful. And you've really embodied a powerful woman. And I love the depiction of the tigress. It was just absolutely lovely. And you did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, this was absolutely engaging, SoundCloud and Wright. I mean, this kind of woman can arouse a poor male's anxiety level. But, you know, the challenge must be met. I mean, I'm not trying to be silly, but when you have a woman who is almost predatory, but misunderstood, you do have to, and not only misunderstood, but maybe sequestered in some way. I think a reference may have been made to unleashing, you know, the tiger. It can be a handful. It can be so worth your while to appreciate a woman for what she is, not just what you think she is or what you think she needs. It's a beautiful piece.
Truly is. Wonderful comments, everybody. And I have to say, I do like the way that this speaks about being not only a bold woman, but a woman of intelligence, a woman who knows her own gifts. And I like how this takes on the idea of, you know, if you're going to go for a woman like this, you know, make sure it's truly what you want and that you can handle that. Wonderful imagery throughout. I really like a mystery that will surely stop your heart, one that stalks behind shadows, tombs, entice her to your benefit. And and if you slumber next to her secrets, your body will try to hide. She will swiftly unmask each one in one lustful stride. There's something very just, you know, powerful and seductive about someone who can coax out secrets of desire. So just a wonderful write and very well done. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're not able to call into the shows, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry and your voice. And all right, Casey, your poem is up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okie dokie. Been a minute since I've done this, so here we go. Naked in the sun. Droplets look like diamonds, strewn across my bare chest. They tumble on the shoreline, where my body lies, undressed. Sun-kissed face and poetry lips, you stare while my nipples drip. Your eyes beg, you want my body. I can tell your thoughts are naughty. I can't help but like the notion, so I play with your emotion. Bringing myself to my feet, I twirl. I steadily follow my lines and my curls. I let my hips sway as I walk past. You hold your breath like it's your last. I smile and toss my hair on my shoulder, part of me wishing you'd have been bolder. I dance naked in the sun, and you're wearing shades. You bite your tongue as I walk away. Some girls dance in a river. Some girls dance in the sand. Some girls dance in the light of the moon. But baby, we all do.
Great read, Casey, and a wonderful poem. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, there's something so engaging about playful sensuality, but it's so evocatively written that the playfulness recedes a bit, and I'm just enraptured with the visions, the images that you bring. I let my hips sway as I walk past. You hold your breath like it's your last. I smile and toss my hair on my shoulder. Part of me wishing you'd have been bolder. But the wrap-up to this, some girls dance in a river. Some girls dance in the sand. Some girls dance in the light of the moon. But baby, we all dance. That is so neat. I love that.
Thank you.
And great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yes, Casey, I was smiling all through this. It was just so provocative and so, like, right in your face. And, you know, it's just like a wild flirt, you know, going on. And like Laurent said, that laugh. Wow, that just wrapped everything up. That's just, and you put in the word baby there, you know, but baby, we all dance, you know. It's like, you know, yeah, right in your face. I just loved the boldness inside of this piece all the way through. And yeah, well done. Wow, what a write. So bravo, bravo.
Thank you.
Great comment, Naomi. And Frank, your thoughts?
Poe.
this was, where do I begin with this poem here? This was a very central piece here. I agree with, just one moment. I agree with what Laurent said. It's very evocative in the sense of the imagery there. But I thought it was beautiful, beautiful imagery. I mean, you just had me go, I mean, how do I express this? You just brought, I mean, I thought the whole notion of the eroticism you expressed there was very, very poetic. It was very much sensual. But I like the whole notion there of what you offer there in the dance there. Now, you offer it. It is provocative, but it's beautiful because you capture the whole imagery of that prompt there, you know, that whole sex appeal of a woman there, you know. And I like the way you just brought it into the dance there, the last four lines. You know, some girls dance in a river, dance in the sun, dance in the light of the moon, but we all dance. It just grasped me there. I really like this poem. It's a very sensual, it's very erotic, but I thought it was beautiful, beautifully displayed in the metaphors and the imagery throughout the poem. I'm going to pin this.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, I'm going to pin this on my front page.
Very cool, very cool. And yeah, I have to agree. Wonderful comments, everyone, but I did have to agree that, Lauren, your observation about how this had that engaging playfulness, but yet was kind of not too out front with that, because of the use of the, you know, the imagery and the sense of emotion. And I know I'm slightly paraphrasing you, but that was kind of the things I was thinking as I was listening to your comment. Is really what truly makes this poem work, and what to me, what makes this poem work so beautifully for a night where for this topic is because she's dancing for her lover, because she knows she can play that game and do that dance of enticement. There's truly a sense of confidence, and what I do also like those end lines, but to me, what I particularly like about those end lines is that they have attitude in them, and they have intelligence. So here, you know, we have a woman who knows her man's mind, knows his naughty thoughts, presents herself provocatively, but, you know, then in the end says, you know what, we all dance in one way or another. So just really excellent right there, Casey, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. And good night, Naomi. Thank you for calling in. Glad you could join us.
I have to run as well, my friends. Take care, my friends. Take care, Pam.
All right.
Great
good
show.
Night, Frank.
Take care.
Thank you for calling.
Likewise. Take care. Buenas noches.
And up next, we have Bald and Confident by Kenny W. And Lauren, would you give that a read for us, please?
Happy to. Okay. I thought it was Bald. Bald and Confident by Kenny W. You may take me as a fool because I have a head like Yule's, shining like a beacon bright off streetlights in the night. But many women I have enthralled in my latter years of being bald. I'm a paid-up member of the team. Things aren't always as they seem. In my pencil, I have more lead because of my high forehead. The girls like to rub incense into it as foreplay on the way to doing it. I know this is going to make you groan, but I've got lots more testosterone. David Beckham or Brad Pitt, and we're not just talking a little bit. And we baldies are in and out of the shower, whereas Becks can be in there hours and hours. Have you ever seen Bruce in Die Hard, another epic in which a baldie starred? Well, Larry David, so charming and curb, and Ben Kingsley acting superb. So I've learned to hold my head up high. I'm as virile and cool as the next guy. So if they offered me a new head of hair, I'd say, no way, don't you dare. Neither do I need a beanie, a cap, or a hat. I'm a happy bulb as a coot, and staying like that. End poem.
Great read there, Lauren. I have to say, I really enjoyed this poem by K.W. I thought it was just wonderfully smile-inducing. And Casey, your thoughts?
Oh, I loved this. I giggled throughout. I thought there was many parts that were just great. I do love that he quoted Larry David as his quote up top, but the whole thing was wonderful. The gets out of the shower quicker than, you know, somebody with a full head of hair, David Beckham. It was all really well done. I thought it was pretty cute, but it makes a point. And I know a few men in my life who were less confident because they were balding, and I think that this would be a great thing to show them, and I think it's a good thing to remember. And yes, he's correct. There's lots of sexy guys that are bald, so, you know.
Oh, yes.
Kudos.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with a couple of friends the other day about all the different sexy bald guys there are, such as Yul Brynner or, just a whole list of them. Great comment there, Casey. And Lauren, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderfully funny and not without a lot of truth. I think this was excellence in humor in ink.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, this has wonderful humor to it, but also intelligent. Makes a really great point about, you know, being confident and owning your confidence and being proud of who you are. And I really like this all the way through. But I do especially like that stanza that says, I know this is going to make you groan, but I've got lots more testosterone than David Beckham or Brad Pitt. That was a wonderful stanza, and the whole night was just really great and very well done. All right. Wow. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. All right. Let's try to get some of more of our sound clouds in. And let's see here. All right. People were very generous with their sound clouds tonight, which is good. And, all right, up next we have In Union by Chinaski, and I'll go ahead and find that recording and push play.
Ocean swells, kissing shores, lost in sleeping blankets under crystalline paths, rolled out from liquid moons. The green from iris, touching whispers, caressed in long-distance gaze, glasses raised, celebrating us. Thom dust, seeds, crackling hue, red rust of horizon. Blazing silence in ebony darkness, napping the inner thighs of soft petals, wings open, dripping desire. Honey islands, bodice swaying, willowing waves, withering surrender, tender bites, bittersweet, ravishing, thirsty. Look where we worship, living in isolation. Silhouettes form ghosts, physically, inevitably, our circle of passions. its center, driving towards the edge of outer rim, discovering zone, specimen, floating buoyant buoy. Cradled arms, never dying upon heated streets, gyrating twigs of all-night cinemas, watching life. Descending into coffins, writing script, aged graceful wine, breathing salted wind, swimming through borderless ocean.
Wonderful read and write, Janaski. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And Lawrence, let's start with your thoughts.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I don't think I've ever heard one of Chinaski's poems that I like more than this one. And then the presentation was really, it was flawless and evocative. And it set a mood, two words that were actually quite beautiful in the combinations they were used. The blazing silence and ebony darkness, napping the inner thighs of soft petals, wings open, dripping desire. The last stanza got to me as well. Descending into coffins, writing script, aged graceful wine, breathing salted wind, swimming through borderless ocean. It presents an image at the end that recedes away from the reader to a horizon, a distant horizon, and leaves you feeling not empty, but, well, perhaps a little empty, wrung out by emotions, if you will. It's a beautiful piece.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Casey, your thoughts?
Chinaski's work is always so interesting. I really enjoy the abstract that he does. The vision, I guess, I sort of got throughout because of, for me, abstract is like, I don't want to like go on a tangent, but abstract is something that you more feel and maybe you get a sort of vision. It's not really something that you completely understand. You know what I mean? So like what I took from it, my sort of vision I got is this couple being married, right? And that's kind of, as it gets into, you know, celebrating us, this kind of couple getting married, raising their glasses, cheering, and then what comes beyond that? Then they settle down and they watch, you know, the red rust of horizon, you know, they see the sunrise together, they go through the dark parts of life together. There's a little bit of sensuality there when it talks about napping the inner thighs of soft petals, wings opened, dripping desire. You know, that to me was maybe more sensual, possibly also like moving forward in life, right? The next portion of life where maybe they're trying for a baby. And then it ends with the end of their life. But the fun part about this is that it's endless, borderless ocean. So it's meaning that they'll live in eternity till death do us part, but then there's the everlasting life. And so I thought that this was really beautiful. That's what I got from it. Yeah, and then I saw the dedication at the bottom. So really lovely job, Chinaski.
Absolutely. Great observations there, Casey. Yeah, I like how he always has just really beautiful and profound imagery. A lot of his poetry has kind of that beat poet jazz type feel to it. I really like where he says, honey islands, bodice, swaying, willowing waves, withering surrender, tender bites, bittersweet, ravish and thirsty spirits. There's really, to me, that sense of both the emotional and physical and spiritual needs being met by another person and wonderful alliteration and just really great imagery all the way through and very well done. And up next we have Let's Dance the Dance by Martha Gettle. And we also have a recording for that one. So let me find that. And here we go.
Let's Dance the Dance by Martha Gettle. I may not be what you're looking for. I can be different, that's for sure. But I'm here one more time to lay my heart out on the line. The stars, they still shine above. My heart, it still believes in love. But I refuse to fit your mold. My heart is still daring and bold. So if you're up to take a chance, come with me, we'll dance a dance. You never know what we might find. It could be hell or something divine. So if your heart is open and free, and if it is love that you seek, we might make it to the top if we can start and never stop. So if you're up to take a chance, come with me, we'll dance the dance. You never know what we might find. It could be hell or something divine. Loving you has got me high, and I'm looking over the side, wondering how it will fall when we reach the end of it all. So if you're up to take a chance, come with me, we'll dance a dance. You never know what we might find. It could be hell or something divine. But maybe there won't be an end, and we won't have to try again. So baby, come be bold with me. You never know where it might lead.
Thank you, Martha, for the recording. Great read and write. Always appreciated. And, you know, as always, Martha's poems just, you know, spot on rhyme and flow. Great, you know, just really a down-to-earth feel. And I like how in this write, she says right away, you know what, I know I'm different. I know I may not be what you're looking for, but let's give this a try. You never know what you might find. I also like where the second stanza, especially where she says, the stars, they still shine above. My heart is still, it still believes in love, but I refuse to fit in to your mold. My heart is still daring and bold. So what I like about this is she wants to, the woman in this poem wants to give that man a chance, wants to see what happens if they try to start a relationship together and where it will lead to. But she tells him right away, you know, I am bold and I'm not going to fit into any mold that you want me to. So, you know, kind of like take me as I am type feel to it. And I really appreciate that. And Casey, your thoughts?
I really love a lot of Martha's stuff, and I thought this was just absolutely enjoyable. I like that it's Let's Dance the Dance, and she sings it. It's a song. It's just a gorgeous write throughout, though. I may not be what you're looking for. And like you said, you know, she's very honest up front. And she tells him, look, I'm not going to fit any molds. I'm not going to change to be with you, but like, let's give this a shot. And in the end, I love that she invites him to be bold with her. So instead of asking me to change so that you're more comfortable, how about you become bold and be bold with me, and be as unforgiving of who you are as I am of who I am. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. I love the message behind this poem. I thought it was beautiful. It was an enjoyable listen. She did a great job.
Absolutely well said. And since I got some more poems I want us to get to, I'm going to go ahead and move on to Curveball Question by Eric Svensson. And we also have a SoundCloud for that one. So let me go ahead and find that and push play.
Curveball Question. Cathartic Moment. Massive iceberg disintegrates, crashes into cobalt sea, gazes, shoots skywards, instant eager implosion. Pedantic penguins observe, plush polar bears yawn, roll over. They've seen it all before. Tip of the iceberg all suave, self-assured, sassy, sunny struts. Bulk of the iceberg lay submerged, concealed by cobalt subconscious, until, out of the blue, her delicious lips formed the words, instant ego implosion. Retreat into beehive igloo, northern lights vamp, turn up the amps, whooshing, whizzing, crackling sound overhead. Replay moment when his hands ran over her crackling silk dress. Confident conquistador about to conquer virgin territory. Ardent gardener determined to claim Aurora Borealis rose. Silken petal exfoliation by skilled manicured fingers. Rancid bitter taste of her rhetorical question on his tongue. A snow leopard doesn't change its spots, does it? Instant implosion. Ribald ramrod urge deflated. What did she hear via the grapevine? Impossible. A voluptuous scientist studying magnetic anomalies. Consumed by northern lights phenomena. Avid Aurora Borealis examiner. Impossible. Could Miami's grapevine reach so far? Cheer up, big boy. A brilliant flash mob smile illumes, flushes him out of darkened mind cave, puts him on the spot. Checking out your Learjet, Dorian, I'd say your maxim is, size doesn't matter, but I'd rather sink on the Titanic than a canoe. Afloat on a dislodged piece of iceberg, a huge polar bear rolls over meekly, extended front paw claws wave a white flag. End poem.
That was absolutely wonderful. I have to say, I actually did chuckle out loud with the line, size doesn't matter, but I'd rather sink on the Titanic than a canoe. And there's just so many clever lines throughout this. And he wrote to the quote, a sudden, bold, and unexpected question doth many times surprise a man and lay him open, by Francis Bacon. And I chose that quote because I really wanted to see if anyone would choose it and, you know, what they would get out of it, because it really is one of those quotes that you could put in any context. Like, and, you know, like, it doesn't necessarily have to, and it really doesn't lean too much towards the idea of sensuality. And yet you can, I think, obviously get sensuality out of it. So, and Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Certainly. It's always wonderful to hear a poem read by the poet, although this wonderful rite stands completely on its own. Hearing him read it, each word carefully laden with emotion, with meaning, with vocal implication, takes it to another level. For instance, the tone of mild astonishment as he read the title was delicious, as was this entire piece. Just a compendium of phrasing and language that, I'm going to use the word delicious again. It absolutely was. You could almost eat the thing.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Very well said. And Casey, your thoughts?
I thought it was very enjoyable. I really liked that he kind of kept up this anticipation towards the end. So as he's reading the beginning, you're just like, okay, what's the question? What happened? What did she say that did all of this? Because there's so much going on, right? Like, all of these things, it's like the iceberg crashing into the water. Like, what made you feel like that? And then he comes up down at the bottom with that Titanic line, and it just, it's so great. It's like, oh, there it is. It was a wonderful read he did. And I enjoyed the poem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. Wonderful alliteration and imagery, a clever rite. I like that it touches on the line, the her delicious lips form the word instant ego implosion. Turn up the amps, whooshing, whizzing, crackling sound over her replay moment when his hand ran over her crackling silk dress. Really great lines and imagery, wonderfully written and very well done. And let's see, up next we have A Poet's Masterpiece by Louis Despier. I'm not quite sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but hopefully close enough. And this one also has a recording. What's that?
Cipher.
Oh, I bet you're right. Cipher. Yeah, that probably makes sense. All right. And find that. And here we go.
A Poet's Masterpiece. Your body is the parchment for a candy-coated sensual poem written in my unspoken language. And in my composition, words hug your womanly contours in the chiseled tight turns of your hourglass figure. The only composition I dare call masterpiece, for what I've written in between your intimacies is perfection and nothing less. So anything I do or create after you will be of a lesser experience, and therefore the masterpiece of you will be an obsession of infinite edits and rewrites. Until each new version I read on your body like Braille is committed to memory. Hence, for three forevers, I will be a willing slave to thy flawlessness. For in your gorgeous parchment, we will reauthor our cardinal fantasies. Honey, please allow my recital to begin on sugary lips, a nice fit above your bosom that never quits, to incite those curvy hips and finish the last passage as I dip on your other intimate lips.
Great read there, Louis. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And Casey, your thoughts?
Whew. This was intense and passionate and lovely. And I really, I absolutely love the stanza. So anything I do create after you will be of a lesser experience. And therefore, the masterpiece of you will be an obsession of infinite edits and rewrites. Just, wow, absolutely stunning. What a fantastic way to explain the importance of somebody. And just poetic. Just, yeah, absolutely poetic and beautiful. So really enjoyed this. I thought he did a stunning job.
Yes, I have to say, I really like how you went with the extended metaphor of like the poet or the artist and their creation and used it to convey sensuality and to convey the beauty of someone and the beauty of physical love. I really like for In Your Gorgeous Parchment, we will reauthor our carnal fantasies. I thought that was a really nice couplet thrown in there. And this was beautifully written and very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I was going to quote the exact stanza that Casey selected, in part because it can be taken in either the physical sense or in the literal, more poetic sense. Either way, it is a beautiful piece that expresses his love and her sensuality. The womanly contours and the chiseled tight turns of the hourglass figure. And the true masterpiece may be indeed the one that he writes on her body with his. Great piece.
Absolutely. Well said there. And all right, up next we have Warning. That's Just the Way I Like It by Captain D2. And we do have a recording, so I'll go ahead and get that, and do, I know it's here somewhere. There we go.
Warning, that's just the way I like it. Poem. You'll know when I've arrived. The room will fall strangely quiet. Small talk and cocktail conversation will ebb. And all eyes will be cast toward the door. And that's just the way I like it. There will be envious frowns of disapproval mixed with wanton looks of desire. Some will think my black leather bustier inappropriate simply because it furnishes me with a balcony you could play Shakespeare off of. I realize that occasionally during the conversation, I will have to snap my fingers near my face and remind the gentleman speaking to me that my eyes are up there. And that's just the way I like it. And when accompanied by black leather pants and 4-inch CFM stiletto high heel boots, the phrase dressed to kill assumes new meaning. Complete the ensemble with a short black leather jacket and tongues will wag or jaws will drop, as the case may be. Shock and awe isn't only for the battlefield. I find it works quite well at social gatherings. Most women aren't equipped to exercise it. Most men aren't equipped to deal with it. And that's just the way I like it. Oh, and I'm not known for mincing words. Female snarkiness will earn one a verbal bitch slap. And if a male presumes, There is mental vacuity beneath my gorgeous mane of long blonde hair. He will quickly learn to sorely regret that misconception. All will discover that this doll can push a noun against a verb. Sprinkle a few well-chosen polysyllabic adjectives, drop the occasional well-placed F-bomb, and assemble whole paragraphs with breathtaking success. Let the gossiping and the bad-mouthing commence. I am well known for being unapologetically me. And if that scares the hell out of you, well, honey, that's okay with me, because wolves don't lay down with sheep. So fair warning, I have arrived. And if you disapprove of me, you know precisely what you can do and precisely where you can place your unsolicited opinion. And that's just the way I like it. End poem.
Great read and write, Bobby. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. I have to say, I like how she kept just saying in this right eye over and over again. Very definitely plenty of boldness and confidence in this write. And I like how she says shock and awe isn't only for the battlefield. And, oh, I'm not known for mincing words. What else? All will discover that this doll can push a noun against a verb, sprinkling a few well-known polysyllabic adjectives. You know, drop the occasional well-placed F-bomb. You know, it's like, I think that's a good sign of an intelligent woman when she knows when's the time to drop the F-bomb and when's the time to save it for later. You know, there's a real sense of self-confidence in this write. And so very cool, very well done. And Casey, your thoughts?
Oh, I'm so in love with this, and I'll try not to gush because I don't want to take too much time, but absolutely loved it. And not to sound like overly full of myself or anything like that, but it felt like she wrote it about me.
I think that's awesome.
I think that it can be relatable to a lot of women in a lot of different ways. But I just, like, as I was listening to it, I was like, oh, my God, this is me, like, a few years ago. absolutely great job, as always.
Very cool. Yeah, I personally think confidence is sexy for both women and men. And that's why, you know, I thought that, you know, confidence and boldness both are sexy for you know, for a sensual night. And great comment there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
That stanza, shock and awe, isn't only for the battlefield. I found quite clever. I like what Casey said about it reminding her of herself. And she has the entire poem to relate to, whereas all that's left for our house manners, most men aren't equipped to deal with it. I'm not about to say that that's relatable, but it's not a lot left. I mean, come on. Now, when she emphasizes dress to kill assumes new meaning, you didn't need any of the poem to communicate the message other than dress to kill. Why kill? You know, it's a metaphoric destruction of the prey, a sensual taking of his life energy. And when a woman dresses to do that, watch out. Love the read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments. All right. Our last poem for the night, and then the few others will be carried over to to the next Art of Seduction show that I host. That's what I'm thinking anyways. We'll figure it out. Or I'll figure it out and let people know. But our last poem for tonight's show is Bright by Kel Smiles. And Casey, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Right.
By Kel Smiles. Aha! I see you. Watch my walk. See my face. I'm made up good. Real good. My jeans are tight. And why not? I have a great ass. Like to carry it off. Just right. Oh, so you think my blouse is too tight? Without support, my tips sneak out? Haha, so what? Maybe that's the point. Are my lime green jeans and sunny blouse too bright? How about that? You can see me coming, because I'm looking bright. You'll remember me, right?
Great read, Casey. And I thought this was just an absolutely delightful poem of confidence, the confidence of a woman who knows she looks good. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, not to overuse the phrase, but dress to stand out. I mean, the reaction is known. The deadly weapon is she, once again, dresses to kill. I hate to use the phrase again, but that's what you guys do. My jeans are tight, and why not? I have a great ass. Let's carry it off just right. You know, I get a feeling that, and I'm gonna steal from Bill Burr, the comedian, roughly 85%, the average male is programmed genetically to want to make love to about 85% of all the women he knows or meets. I mean, to me, that's just automatic. So when you have a woman standing in front of you with a pair of buttocks that exemplify the standard of perfection to such a thing, with legs that never stop descending down for those beautiful buttocks, it really can paralyze a poor guy. I mean, there's a sensation in his gut, in his brain, his knees get weak. He reaches out to touch metaphorically, doesn't dare to, because his girlfriend is standing next to him. But it happens, I guarantee you, it happens. Great piece.
Absolutely, I have to agree. Well said there. And Casey, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Oh, my without support, my tips poke out. Ha ha, so what? Maybe that's the point. That is so clever. I loved that so much. And Kel, just so fantastic, right? And I agree. I wish that there was less of a stigma around more voluptuous females going without bras because, you know what? They can too. So, ha-ha, so what? I like it.
Absolutely.
Really nicely done. So it's all right then if a guy's wear a cod piece?
Sure.
If it makes you feel
that.
Good.
But yeah, I really liked this and how it is about a woman knowing that she's getting that attention in her dressing. But I like how she throws in, are my lime green jeans and sunny blouse too bright? How about that? You can see me cousin. You can see me coming. Just really a wonderful write all the way through and very well done. Well, I have to say I've had a lot of fun with this show. I really appreciate everyone. Please make sure to check out the topic boards and late night poets and contests being put out by our late night poet hosts and hostesses. And thank you to Lawrence, Tom, Naomi, Frank, and Casey for calling in. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And then, as I said, the shows just wouldn't be the same without all of you. And tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have a double helix with Aphasiana and Dexter. And Dexter Duke of St. Paul is running the contest. And that's on Mind Games. And then Friday, 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have Break On Through, and I'm running the contest for that. And it is on the prompt is the Bob Dylan song, Issus. And all right, well, thank you, everyone, and have a good night.
Night.